Welcome back, everybody, to another Eats Beat podcast, the most delicious podcast of the Metroplex. I'm Bud Kennedy.
And Steve Wilson.
We are in the Worthington today. I've been in the Worthington hundreds of times over the last 38 years that it's been open, but I have never seen the Worthington like it looks today or like it's about to change. And that's why our guest is Jason Harper, the chef at Toro Toro, which is about to open in the lobby of the Worthington. Jason, say hello, and what have you done with the Worthington? Tell us what's I'm going to open just with a real basic question. Tell us what's going on.
Sure, absolutely. It's been quite a whirlwind, and thank you for having me. It's good to be here. So it's amazing. Less than a month ago, I was running a restaurant, Trio New American Cuisine, out in Colleyville for the last 10 years. And I was sought out by the Richard Sandoval Restaurant Group.
And how did he contact you? Did he call you up at Trio and say, hey, come down? I mean, how'd this happen?
Yeah, actually, so I've done a little consulting work on the side over the last couple years with some other restaurant projects. And there was a restaurant that was going in at Beltline and the Tollway out in Dallas. And their PR company, Endicott PR Company, they... I worked with them during the consultation and while I was doing menu development. And evidently, they represent Richard Sandoval as well.
Well, go ahead and name names. Whose menus did you work on that we don't know?
It's a restaurant called Sidecar Social. Okay. It's by the Boomer Jacks Restaurant Groups.
Okay.
So they were putting together something a little more high-end, and they wanted to take a step above what they'd been doing at Boomer Jacks. So that's what I was doing with those guys.
They said, hey, come down. We're going to put you in this big fancy steakhouse downtown.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jason, I mean, you've been around Fort Worth for, and I know you from Trio, and Trio was around 10, 12 years?
10 years this past March.
10 years, yes. A great success and really important to people in Colleyville, North Richland Hills, in that area. You won a lot of chef contests. I mean, you've been around doing all this, and this is a new twist for you, and I didn't think I'd wind up seeing you in a Latin churrascaria kind of restaurant.
Well, first thing I would say is the churrascaria is that was one of my first questions too when they approached me, and I said,
"You're not going to have to wear a gaucho outfit."
Not at all. It is not a churrascaria at all. In fact, there's no radicchio style carving at the table. And that was one of my first questions because I said, "Well, the Worthington's right behind." Isn't there a Tex de Brazil right behind the Worthington? And they said, well, let me talk to you a little bit more. So I'm the kind of guy who I'm really proud of what I serve, and I want to be proud of what I'm serving, and also that the creative nature of what I do. So I did a lot of research, and I prodded them with probably as many questions as they prodded me with for the position. And what I learned about Toro Toro is the style of what they do is small plates, Latin tapas style, and with a global international twist, which is fantastic. And then there's an awesome steakhouse piece to it as well, which one of the coolest things I think is the big Santa Maria style. It's a $70,000 grill that is at the end of the bar. That's separate from the kitchen altogether. It is the showpiece of the entire restaurant, and it's a big wood-burning grill that people can sit around and see what's going on, and that's where the steakhouse a la carte piece comes into play.
You know, I peeked behind the curtain downstairs and saw some of this. It really does look like a great space. This is, I mean, it's really incredible for people who have been to the Worthington, and you see that kind of blank wall that's always been turned to Main Street, and they've turned it into the big dining space and glass windows, and
they've spared no expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I've noticed that is really impressive is they completely blew out the wall and made this beautiful lounge. So when people walk into the reception desk, the bar and the restaurant are right there. It's all one, so it flows very freely together, and there's not a separation of a restaurant to the hotel.
Yeah, the Worthington always turned this cold, blank wall to Main Street and to the people, and now they look very welcomed.
And I've want to hear more about that grill. So that's like an
Steve
open.
Steve would like one for his.
Yeah, yes, that's an open. That's an open grill.
It,
so
it,
so
yes.
You're going to walk in. You're going to smell that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ventilation in the middle of the restaurant with the high ceilings. That's been challenging to for the engineers, I'm sure, to work on that. But yeah, you'll be able to smell it. You know, get some good mesquite wood in there burning. I love wood burning grills. Mm-hmm. I love getting back to that raw nature of cooking, and doing it in a nice, elegant restaurant is super fun. It's got the cranks, the big wheel cranks on both sides, which is kind of that Santa Maria style.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll elevate, so you can change the elevation of the grill grates themselves. And actually smack in the middle, for the first time, I think, at any Toro that they've ever done, they constructed it to have a smoke box dead center that lets those coals kind of rise up. So as big steaks are finishing, they're finishing in this smoke box, which is constantly being exposed to more smoke as it's going. And don't think of it so much as like a barbecue smoker where you put brisket in there for long, long periods of time, but as kind of a holding, slowly heating up smoke box. So that's very cool. And it's right in the middle. It's pretty big.
And you said there's seating around that too. Is that like a special seating? You have to make arrangements for that?
No, not at first. We'll see what a hot ticket it is. I'm thinking it's going to be a hot ticket,
I would like to see some grill action.
If people know that wood burning grill at H3 Ranch in the Stockyards, which is very popular, in which both the smell of it and the view of it make H3 a real destination. People love going there. This is like a supersized version of it.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I was talking with the engineer and he was saying, oh, this grill's not, they're telling us this grill isn't going to create a lot of smoke underneath the vent. And I said, you know what, if I have anything to do with it, and guess what I do, it's going to create a lot of smoke, and I want it to. And I don't want it all to go into the vent. I want some of it to billow out, so it just kind of disperses throughout. Not too much, but just enough to disperse out into the dining room. And I love that. And the best way to do that is a lot of heavy basting with butter. So well-seasoned. You know, the way I cook with steaks and the way I've always learned is you season heavily. You marinate with aromatics. You season heavily with a good house seasoning, garlic salt made from scratch. But you over-season a little bit, so that you have butter close by and you're doing some basting. And so basting does two things. It keeps that flavor, keeps it nice and moist and tender, but basting also creates a little bit more smoke.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could be pumping some of that smoke towards Sundance Square, you know.
I'll let John smell it across the street and just
but not toward the apartments. They'll complain.
Right.
But you've touched on a couple of things that are going to be identity problems. I brought up the Churrascaria in Texas de Brazil because people are going to think when you hear Latin Steakhouse, that's what they think of.
Right.
You're going to have to figure out how to explain that in a different way. And then, boy, I tell you, the last time somebody tried to open a tapas restaurant in Fort Worth, word got around that it was a topless restaurant, and it didn't last very long. So you're really up against a couple of branding problems.
I agree. And, you know, when I hear the word tapas these days, I think it's used so loosely, and I think it really just means small plates. It doesn't necessarily even mean that it's Spanish food. So when it's kind of a Latin global small plate style restaurant, which has the steakhouse piece as well. And I think what I envision about it, you know, one of my favorite restaurants to eat at is in Dallas. It's called Uchi. This is a little off the subject, right? But when you eat at Uchi, you can order 12, 13 small plates, and you look at it and you're like, man, it's so reasonably priced. It's great. And then you walk out and you realize you just ordered 12 or 13 dishes, and it's amazing, and I love it. So it's going to be kind of the same approach with a bunch of small plates.
What's the big steak? Because that's what people are going to look for. What's the big steak?
Big tomahawk.
Big tomahawk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's there.
Okay.
So we do have some really cool South American flair twists in there as well. We're going to be sourcing through 44 Farms. We're talking with the guys at A Bar and Ranch. Just kind of seeing what we can do to make sure that we've got that local piece with the types of steaks that we're bringing in. It's our plan to bring the Miyazaki, the good Kobe beef, and so to have everything that we can hold our own from a steakhouse perspective over that wood-burning grill and put that beast to good use.
Now, so then what's going to be different about steaks here from the seven other prime steakhouses downtown or in the west side? What's the seasoning different? What's the grilling different?
So A lot of it's going to have to do with the marinades and what we do. So, you know, I worked for Abacus in Dallas during its heyday, and I was their grill man for about 2 years. And, you know, there was really nothing super complicated about what we did there. But we had kind of a house marinade. It's full of aromatics, herbs, garlic, shallots. And whenever you want to go on the Latin side, your herbs are cilantro, your aromatics are lime or garlic or onion. So I'm envisioning all of that. You know, what's great is that I get to work closely with Richard Sandoval and his guys and his crew. And I'm learning so much from him and his people, and as far as how they put together those phenomenal flavor profiles. So it's very much been a wonderful collaboration. So I'm excited when their team comes in. The way this is going to work is they've got a team of people who's going to come and spend a decent amount of time with us and with my staff and my crew, and we're all going to kind of play in the lab together as far as developing the menu and playing with all that. But
have you been to a Sandoval restaurant?
I have.
Been to one in Washington?
In fact, last week I was in Miami all week long with Chef Gene Delgado, and I absolutely love what they do down there. Again, if you look at
that's a Toro Toro?
It is a Toro Toro. It's in the Hotel Intercontinental down in Miami. But what I love, again, about those guys is they're real intentional about the restaurant is small plates. So what we noticed diners were doing is they would come and they would order three or four small plates for a four or five top to share. And then they would order one big tomahawk for the middle of the table. And so they were able to kind of carve that. It wasn't necessarily each person getting a big steak.
Right.
It was tasting as many different things to kind of to go on a world tour, if you will, of the international flavors that they were doing. And was very impressed with what they were doing.
Which, that's the pitch now. Get the $70 steak for the table to share, and then everybody else have a little
absolutely
pasta or something else on the side.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the small plates?
So think of... you know, in a lot of South American cuisine, I know what we're going to be doing different. Let me just sidebar a little bit. One thing that I noticed and something that drew me to this project tremendously was each Toro Toro has a very different menu. Mm-hmm. It's not the same menu at every one, and they do a great job. Chef Richard does a great job of finding local talent who kind of understands and has a thumb on the pulse of the community and that style of food, and gives them freedom. And he's giving me freedom to make changes and kind of put our spin on what we do. So with that being said, there's kind of a Peruvian South American feel that's going to have some ceviches, but not like you see ceviche. Think of some different crudo style, you know, sashimi, almost Japanese type sashimis with some different kind of Latin American influence. And the one thing that I feel strongly about is, and one of my strengths, is kind of regional old world Mexican style cuisine. So expect to see a decent amount of that as not quite as much South American as you would maybe see at some of the other Toro Toros, just with the wonderful Mexican influence we have, the cultural influence we have in North Texas, having some of that old world Mexican incorporated in.
In what way?
Just ingredient wise to some of the different dishes. So, you know, what one of the dishes that we've been playing with, and not going to give you too much of a sneak peek here because we're still in the
development. I mean, I looked in there, so still a little ways away.
So let's give you a for instance of kind of a style of dish. So Texas Bob White quail is wonderful, right? It's local. It's something you probably won't see at any of the other Toros. But so maybe a duck chorizo that we stuff inside the Bob White quail, maybe wrap it in bacon, cook it on that wood burning grill, and then serve it with like a corn pudding or something, which is something very Texas, very Southern, and then maybe an ancho huckleberry demi-glace sauce to kind of go along with that. So you get some of that old world Mexican, you get some of that Texas piece as well. So that's something that would be very incorporating of who we are in Fort Worth to kind of that style of food as well.
What's different in a hotel than this would be if you were operating outside a hotel?
As far as the style of food or
just style of food, menu items. I mean, here, you know, you have visitors here from all over the globe. You have to have something for Mediterranean, Middle Eastern visitors. You have to have something for Pacific Rim visitors. I mean, the menu has to be written in a way that everybody from all over the world comes, looks at the menu and sees something that they like.
Well, I think being firm in our identity and who we are and being able to say, you know, you've come to a place that we're proud of. You've come to a city that we're proud of, and we want to show you our style of cuisine. We may not be everything to everyone. And I think the hotel does a good job of making sure that they can accommodate that through the banquets and through the hotel itself. But it's very important to understand that this is very intentionally an independent style restaurant. It is our goal to be a contender as one of the best restaurants in Fort Worth. It is not our intention to for people to think of, hey, that restaurant in the hotel, because that's the draw that so many people get with so many hotels. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they brought me on board, because I am the epitome of the independent chef restaurateur. You know, so as I step into the hotel, you know, they've done a great job of saying, hey, being open-minded and saying, we really want to turn this restaurant into something that is very much an independent feel restaurant. So
being the restaurant in the hotel was good for many years, and then as restaurants built up, it kind of became an afterthought. I think Marriott had you know, kind of downplayed it for a while, and I'm glad they're building it back up.
Me too.
Do you think for people, I always think of big plates, so do you think that for people will like the small plate concept?
I think because they have a big steak a la carte section, I think that is going to be what satisfies the appetite. In fact, with the big steak a la carte section, we've got a really great section of sides, like at any steakhouse. So if someone wants to come in and eat like a Texan eats, you know, big steak, big sides, they'll have the ability to do that from an ordering perspective.
Okay.
But they'll also have the ability to try as many different things as they possibly can and kind of go on a flavor excursion, if you will. You
know? We're talking with Jason Harper, opening at the Toro Toro, opening soon in the Worthington. Jason, I'm sure if you look out those big windows, you see that every day at noontime, there's this flood of people from the courthouse walking down to eat lunch.
I do see that.
Some of them are jurors, judges. Some of them are elected officials, but they walk past every day. What are they going to find for lunch? What's that price point? What are they going to find here?
Well, right now we are working very closely on the price point. I don't want to speak too closely to that, but we're going to make sure that we are competitive. We're not going to price ourselves out of the market, but it is going to be a little simpler, more approachable view on the dinner menu. Dinner is where we are going to kind of flex our culinary muscles a little bit. Lunchtime is going to be, we're going to have sandwiches, we're going to have salads, we're going to have that approachable, quick things that we can replicate pretty fast. And I do want to say, going back into the nighttime, you know, looking at it, and I don't know if you guys saw some of the renderings, but this is going to be a hot happening bar. It's going to be live, it's going to be vibrant, it's going to draw people in. This is going to be a destination spot to where people are going to be like, all right, let's go have a drink at Toro. There's not going to be any apprehension for that. With the tequila lockers, I don't know if you guys saw, they just put those up too, right up against the bar. I mean, it goes up, gosh, like 12 feet, 12-13 feet, and it's these lockers that have one of those rolling ladders on them, like at a library. So people can buy really, really nice, elegant, different reserve tequilas, and they can have them stored in their locker, and then they can bring their clients in whenever they want to pull that down to do some sipping on some tequilas. So really excited about the bar program and excited about that whole feel.
Yeah, I've seen that at Capitol Grill. They have those, when you first come in, they have those little cages with, you go like, hey, I want something in that cage.
Well, this is an $8 million remodeling. You know, people will have very high expectations. People also ask, and I know you may not have plans yet, but, you know, and I don't really expect to be open at Thanksgiving. I know they've said it would be open at Thanksgiving, but I'm very doubtful of that. And second, even if I could open, I wouldn't open Thanksgiving because the crowds would not be good for a brand new restaurant. But I know people are going to ask, are they going to bring back the Worthington holiday tradition in any way? The Omni basically took the holiday business away from the Worthington and now handles all the holiday buffets, holiday meals, and the Worthington just surrendered it all. Are you going to do any sort of holiday events?
Well, we absolutely will be. And we're going to, right now we're working very diligently on that, but, I think the word surrender is out of our vocabulary once and for all. And I think the partnership with Richard Sandoval is, and all the remodeling and the money that they're putting into this is evidence that we will no longer surrender. So we're coming to take it back.
It looks like it's going to be a real, just a landmark on Main Street, and it's going to just completely turn around the perception of the Worthington.
Absolutely.
And the attitude toward the Worthington. I think now all the other traffic in Sundance Square and everything, it's like the Worthington. You know, people see the driveways, and that's what people see and think of the Worthington is the portico share and the driveways, and they don't see anything else, and they don't see anybody inside except people getting out of their cars. And I think having the windows on Main and all the activity and that thrilling looking interior is going to be a big change. You mentioned your background, and I mean, you have got a lot of smoking background, obviously, but you were at Abacus and you're at Trio, and I don't really know kind of what the rest of your resume is.
Sure. Well, before that, I was down in San Antonio for about 6 years. That's where I got a lot of my chops. I worked for James Beard Award-winning chef Bruce Auden at Biga on the Banks down in San Antonio.
Which is excellent.
That's a great restaurant. And that was back in early 2000s. but that was my alma mater, if you were. I didn't go to culinary school. My family was in the restaurant business. My whole dad's side of the family is they're from New Orleans and Baton Rouge. So there's that. Those are my roots, my Cajun roots. And then I was in the service for a short period. But I got the job at Biga when I was 20 years old. And I went to the chef de cuisine. And I told him that I was underqualified, but I lived in an efficiency apartment with one other guy. And I needed to pay the bills, which was about $350 a month. And I said I would wash dishes and do anything you wanted if I could just have one shot. And he gave me a shot, and I started prepping, and then I worked my way around the kitchen. I was the youngest saucier that they ever had, and I was there for about 3 years, worked every station, and finally missed my family and wanted to come back home. So I figured I was working at the best restaurant in San Antonio. So I did a little research to see what the best restaurant in Dallas at the time was, and I got a stage with Trey Wilcox at Abacus, the rest is history as far as going up there.
You've never had a restaurant where you have to do room service before. Is that an added twist?
When I was at Biga, this is really funny. A lot of the Latino guys in the kitchen, they didn't really respect me, A, because I was young, pasty-faced kid, but two, I only worked one job, and they were all working two jobs. So really, to earn some respect, I picked up a second job so that I was working 80 hours a week with these guys. So I went and worked at La Mansión del Río under Chef Scott Cohen at the time. And so I did get a taste of the hotel life and all of that. Fortunately, Toro Toro, it's very intentional that we will not be, we're not going to be in charge of any room service.
So the regular...
Out of the Toro Toro kitchen.
So the regular breakfast lunch operation will handle the room
service. That's correct. The banquet kitchen and all that will handle that. Now, what we would like to do is let everyone know that Toro's there. And the best way to do that is to possibly create just a little offering, maybe call it Toro Bites
or something like that. Yeah, you have one item on the menu.
So people can see a couple little easy executed items just to say, hey, come down and try the rest.
So they want to extend their checkout time so they can have lunch in Toro.
That's exactly right.
That's kind of the pitch on that. Jason, this is really fantastic. Steve, I know we have a lot of little other food news to talk about. Have you been out anywhere, seen some good? You've been in California having great food.
Yeah, I've been in California. So what's been going on here?
Fish tacos? What have you had?
Actually had Mexican food.
Okay. Calmex.
Calmex, yeah.
Calmex is
Yeah, it was kind of like there was Breast Cancer Awareness Month going on, and so they had pink tortillas.
Okay.
So it's a real California kind of thing going on.
Made out of pink corn. Right?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like, you know, the chips and the tortillas were pink, and we're going like, oh, what's going on here?
Okay. All right. That's great. So I mean, all that's going on here, like Tuesdays now, you know, Blue Mesa continues to develop their buffets, and Blue Mesa now on Tuesdays, Taco Tuesday, and now Blue Mesa now has a taco buffet on Tuesdays. So they have a Tuesday buffet, a Wednesday buffet, their Saturday and Sunday buffets, and they'll probably have the biggest Thanksgiving turkey buffet in town, except for the high-dollar hotels that previously mentioned. But Blue Mesa now has a Tuesday night buffet. Toasted is open in Crockett Row, Toasted Coffee and Kitchen. People think, Toasted's been teased a lot. People made a lot of fun and said, $7 toast. Really, it's a full menu. It's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner restaurant. The toast is like the canvas that the dinner's prepared on and served on. You can have grilled salmon, steak, or you can have breakfast toast if you want. And the coffee's great. So Toasted in Crockett Row, it's the first real all-day breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Settle in and, hook to the Wi-Fi and, have lunch, whatever, a restaurant in Crockett Row that'll draw people. So Toasted is open at Crockett and Norwood. The work is continuing on Stir right down the street. Stir will be open probably early next year. We our last podcast, you can go back and listen, was on the Mid-Cities Greek Food Festival, which wraps up this weekend, and you should go to that. In the Star Telegram Eats Beat column this week, you'll read about Toasted, and you'll read about Amira's in Arlington, which is a little Lebanese and Mediterranean restaurant. It's probably one of the ugliest restaurants, but it's great food. And it's a chef who used to work, cook who used to work at Prince, in the kebabs, the chicken kebabs, the steak kebabs. And you talk about the smell of the grill when you come up to Amira. I mean, I don't think I've ever come up to a Lebanese Mediterranean restaurant where you smell the grill from a half block away like at a barbecue place. You know, just the, all the kebabs are really incredible. But it's in the former Skillet and Grill on Division, and it's still an old yellow breakfast cafe. But the Mediterranean plates are great, and the dinners are huge, and they're $10 or $12, and the lunches are $6 or $7. So it's just a good deal. And the other food news in town is that it's chili season now, and I don't think we ever talked about this before, but it's chili season at J&J's Oyster Bar.
Yeah, I saw that on your column.
The chef from Fred's works over there now on Hell, and he's got this, you know, the video with the column has him explaining all the different peppers in his chili. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went into the pepper section of the Supermercado El Rancho and rounded up all the peppers, and he puts them all in the chili.
I love that story.
It is really, really good. Well, I always say the best chili in Fort Worth is in the Cultural District. I've always said it's at the Kimball, that the Kimball, you know, has the most artistic chili that we put forth in Fort Worth, and I think J&J's just a block away is kind of pushing them a little bit now, but it's a good chili town.
Did a grocery store open up here recently downtown?
Neighbor's House Grocery will open next week recording this. So in the fourth week of October, Neighbor's House Grocery will open in the First Tower, which is the old First Bank across from Burnett Plaza. If you know where the Briefcase Man statue is on 7th, there's a new grocery, Neighbor's House, that will open with a Roland and Bolin acai bowls and smoothies cafe inside. So we have a downtown grocery back again. The people who have been there like it a lot. And the point about that is, and I want to say this about both downtown and Crockett Row, there's more parking than you think. And if you come to the grocery, there's plenty of parking on weekends. There's usually parking days. And at Crockett Row for Toasted, people think it's terrible to park at Crockett Row, and they hate Crockett Row, but the parking meters are free until 10. So if you go to Crockett Row and you want to have brunch at Cork and Pig on weekends, or you want to have brunch at El Bolero, or you want to have breakfast at Toasted, it's free parking at 8 or 9. The meters don't start until 10. So there's plenty of parking for both of these restaurants. Neighbor's House, we should have the Neighbor's House folks on a future Eats Beat podcast.
Yeah, should. Yeah, I think we should.
Follow us on the web and on Twitter and on Facebook at Bud Kennedy's Eats. And be sure and hook up for the next Eats Beat podcast. Jason Hopper, thank you for being our guest. I'm going to ask you one more thing. Was it tough to leave Trio?
It was very tough. Bittersweet is the best way to describe it. My heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears, passion, everything was poured into Trio. But so many things all happened right around the same time that left no doubt that this is the next progression, the next season for me. So I gladly step into it.
Well, welcome to downtown Fort Worth, and welcome to the challenge of making the Worthington seem open to the public and welcoming and exciting. And I think we're all excited to see what's going to happen here.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
And thank you. Until next time, I'm Bud Kennedy.
And Steve Wilson.